From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live Session presented by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. JPR Live Sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. My guest today is making his first visit to JPR out in support of a brand new record called Moondog. It's Joseph Huber. Hello.
What's happening, Eric? Thanks for
having us.
Welcome
to Ashland.
It is beautiful.
You have brought a couple of friends with you. Tell me who they are and what they're going to do to help.
Certainly. Eston over here on the upright bass, Eston Benny. He's been with me for about 4.5 years now. And Mr. Billy Cook is joining me.
Hello.
On mandolin and lap steel and electric guitar this tour. We were in a band together many, many years ago in the 357 string band. So this is kind of a reunion of sorts. We've been throwing a few of those songs into the sets for some folks. But it's been about 8 years since we played together. So it's been
a bit of
fun.
A reunion.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, some fun.
Billy, you've got roots here in Ashland,
or at least
spent some time here, not only Ashland, but at Southern Oregon.
Yep, back when it was a college, tried muddling my way through some classes.
How'd that go for you?
Great. It went great. Stay in school, kids. Right?
Well, I'm thrilled you guys are here. Joseph, you are from Wisconsin, correct?
Yep.
There are a lot of folks, even some that have passed through, who are from the Eau Claire area.
Okay.
Whereabouts are you from?
I'm originally from New London, Wisconsin, which is kind of the center of the state or northeast a little bit. Green Bay would be the closest one someone would recognize, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I've spent more than half of my life in Milwaukee now, so I say Milwaukee at this point, and people can usually pinpoint that one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right. What was growing up like? What was your childhood? Were you in a musical family, or what was your exposure like to the music that we hear you making now?
Well, I grew up in, my grandpa played. He was a piano player, a trumpet player, accordion player. And then my dad always says it skips a generation because he did not play anything. But he had an acoustic guitar in the basement that I picked up when I was about maybe fourth grade. And I was just attempting to play punk rock on an acoustic guitar out of the basement, and that didn't work so well. So I went electric pretty quick, actually. And it was only later that I got into acoustic music. I was probably I would say 18. So I was listening to nothing but punk rock, and then found a Hank Williams record, and it kind of went all from there. And then Flat and Scruggs, got into bluegrass stuff, Jimmy Martin. And then when I was in college, I was still kind of messing with both of these, and found a bunch of like-minded punk rock kids who wanted to start a bluegrass band. So that's what essentially became 357 String Band for those 7 years we were together. So I've just tried to continue that, but also more of a songwriter element to it after that fact.
Yeah. I mean, this band, fairly well known in the alt country world, and I was really fascinated to learn about what your following was like in Europe for that band.
Yes, certainly. So
what is the deal there? Why does that blow up in Europe, that particular sound?
Yeah, all things American were pretty cool except for politics over there. You know, they'd rip you apart and you'd be like, no, we didn't talk about that. We
is
don't.
Is it different
don't
than
worry.
Now?
Yeah, just so we I mean, they were obsessed with country western music to the point where we played rodeos in France and Italy, where people were dressed up. They even had rebel flag cowboy boots. I'm like, what does that even mean over here?
Toy guns.
What does that mean to you? And everything just means country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so but we had, when we were the first year, 357, we had a bunch of young kids over there, sedate booking. They were probably 17 in college at the time and wanted to take a chance on an American band. And literally we were the first one they booked besides their buddies' bands over there. And now they book every huge Americana act you can think of in rockabilly, bluegrass, or rock and roll. So every time that we put something new out, they get a hold of us and just say, well, we'll always help any of you guys out when you got something new and bring you back over.
That's
so
cool.
They've been good to us over there, certainly.
Now, during that chapter of your music making, you were known primarily as kind of a hotshot banjo player.
Maybe just a banjo player. There are definitely some people that talk me up in ways that I just kind of laugh and shake my head in a way. But I think it was more the fact that I could play extremely fast while singing in this, extreme sort of adrenaline-fueled fast pace as fast as you can possibly go and be singing harmonically along with at the same time that impressed a certain amount of, punk rockers and metalheads.
What feels more comfortable to you to hold, banjo or guitar?
I suppose nowadays I I haven't picked up a banjo in quite some time besides adding it to a few tracks in the recordings. But in terms of the live show, it's mostly been guitar at this point. So right now when I sit down, that just fills everything out, that plays out that midsection when we play live between whatever has happened on a lead instrument and the bass. So mostly guitar now.
Well, let's see. We've got guitar. We've got a bass drum, mandolin, upright bass going on. What do you guys want to play for us first?
We'll play a song called After You. We'll play a little upbeat one first for you.
This is Joseph Huber playing live here at Jefferson Public Radio.
Well, I first saw you trapped on an old bar stool, and on each shoulder another drooling fool. Like wild dogs circling some soon-to-be fool, whom they were after you, they were after you. Well, you shook my head and wandered across the room with some highfalutin idea for saving you. With just one look in your eyes, and I was an old dog too. Well, I was after you, I was after you.
That one is called After You. It's from the brand new record Moondog. Joseph Huber is my guest in the studio today. Information is online at josephhubermusic.com. Esten Bennett and Billy Cook with him in the studio. So your songs, I mean, your background comes from alt country, but many other things. That's sort of a catch-all, as is a newer phrase that or term that's being used to define music, Americana.
Mm-hmm.
You've not really talked about being a huge fan of that label.
Well, I guess I just don't care. I mean, what you call it, I guess. I guess it's a useful term, and I'm not offended by it in any way. It's more just like, sure. And at the point where people are starting to hear that word enough, or even I say it, and people seem to just get the general idea.
Yeah. Well, like the tune that you just did, After You, I mean, bluegrassy, mm-hmm. right? But what are the things about it that make it not bluegrass? I mean, I guess in a way, it's sort of shades of blue, right? I mean...
Well, I suppose that's why Americana is a useful term, is because at this point, I think everyone that plays some sort of folk music is blending at least three or four styles together, you know? So yeah, I mean, I've been influenced by singer-songwriters. I grew up like Jackson Browne and Van Morrison, and that slips into my stuff. So was that Americana back then? I don't know. Sure. I would say folk, I guess, still. Folk or rock. So when you blend elements of that with, you throw a banjo in there. Sure. Americana.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for me to even think about because I guess I don't think about it very much. So, but I'll take anything that people gets the general idea across, mm-hmm. certainly.
In putting together your records, you have done a lot of the work yourself. Not only writing, but singing and playing and producing and doing all of it.
Yeah.
Did that come out of a place of necessity or really a singular mindset of how you wanted things to turn out?
Well, I guess with the very first record back in 2010, I had attempted with a couple of people back in Milwaukee to record that record, and slowly time built up, which made it more costly to the point where I was just like, I think at this point I spent enough money where I could have bought all of the things myself, good microphones and a system and a, you know, and done it myself and filled everything out in my own time. And at the time I came home with a record that I couldn't afford and just me with a guitar and vocals and went, well, I think the next step is just to try home recording out. So it was kind of a necessity at the time, and I've stuck with it for better or worse. So... And I don't know, I just enjoy doing it, you know? So I have no problem with continuing in that method at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a couple of friends with you in the studio today. Mm-hmm. I'm glad for it. What do you guys want to play for us next?
We'll do a little love song for you. This is a song I wrote for my gal back in the day, just to try to blend our relationship back together. Maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. We'll see. So, yeah, a song called Hardwired.
Fantastic. This is Joseph Huber playing live here on JPR Live Sessions.
Turning tides and shifting sands, power fades and changes hands, and nothing's lost or gained right from the start. Whatever was true yesterday is true to the final page, but is it the same with the heart? Or will time tear us apart? Music between you and me has always been the minor key, slowly drowned in our debts. We don't know why our hearts ache, just that they do at any rate. The hard times, they ain't even happened yet. Oh, but you know me, I'll take about any bet. Hard times, honey, just like old timers. Oh, through the party line, baby, we hold tight, hard and wide. Thank you. life to earn, an hour to spend, a second to break, a life to mend this love we made. A life to build, an hour to burn, a second to turn, the life we learned to want, we easily trade.
That one is called Hardwired. Joseph Huber is my guest. It's a track from the new record called Moondog, a very full record of music. We'll touch on this here in just a minute. I think there are something in the neighborhood of 13 tracks, and some of them are quite long.
There's 15.
15 tracks.
Don't you take those other two away from me.
And I mean, there's like a 9-minute suite, a 7.5-minute suite on there.
Yep.
That seems like about, in 2019, that seems about two records worth of material.
Yeah, it was initially 10 songs, and then I just kept on fleshing it up more and more, and I guess maybe things in my personal life also got to a point when everything I had done up to that point, I just wanted to be behind me, and so I went, I've got these songs, I've written these songs, I've fleshed them out, and my mind has to get to a spot where I'm going to start something different and new after this and not hang around and have these other songs waiting out for another album. It just needs to come out, you know, right now. So
were there any kind of examples out there in the world of those longer form tunes that you were kind of modeling these after?
Well, when I wrote A Northwood Waltz, that's the eighth track on the album. I was listening to a lot of Pogues at the time, actually. So that was probably the main influence. Yeah, just some sort of an epic of sorts. So where I wanted to have the flowing fiddles come in and the piano, everything fill in, and at the end have it just build up to this climactic moment, certainly. I'm attracted to those longer ones. Honestly, on this album, I think my favorite ones are the 7.5-minute one and the 6.5 minutes where you said you should be, or where you said you would be, and the Wild Swans at Cool. Those are the ones that if I was going to sit down and put on and show to someone, I would put those songs on.
Yeah. I was just having a conversation with someone the other day about music and the desire for the industry to go after 3.5-minute songs, 4-minute songs, and why that is, why that's become such a thing. And our conversation centered around the fact that nobody ever questions the length of a great song.
Yeah. I mean,
the better the song is, the less you notice how long or short or anything about it. You just remember that it's a great song.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I don't know when that actually became some sort of a standard in the industry. I'm not a pro on that, certainly.
Yeah.
But I've had people, whether they were PR or label people that I've worked with in the past, that just said, you shouldn't do that. Just don't do that. Just seriously, like... You're just taking another song that they're going to not play.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of a reactionary in that sense, that it probably made me want to do it more. So,
well, I mean, if you go back far enough in time, that was all that would fit on one side of a 78.
Yes.
But then everybody just kind of glommed onto that and never changed.
Yeah. I suppose so.
I'm glad you have.
Yeah.
Because there are some fascinating and beautiful songs on this record. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Moondog is the name of the record. Joseph Huber is my guest in the studio today. JosephHuberMusic.com is the place to go online to find more. He's in the studio today with Esten Bennett on upright bass and vocals. Billy Cook is playing mandolin and also lap steel. You guys have one more for us?
Certainly. Yeah, we'll do another one with Billy on the lap steel. This is a song that's certainly hitting home right now, being out on the road again for the longest I've been in probably about maybe at least 4 or 5 years. But it's a song about, you know, the strains that come along with being out on the road.
Now there she stands, staring at the sea again. Doubts and dreams lie tethered forever with. As if a fading love, like a fading body craves. Just a touch of water and the waves. How their pale fingers curl upon the sand. Rough strokes from an unknown master's hand. Shaping all these sorrows into works of art. As the years grow. It's been so long that we've been apart. Another day just drifting down too far. Down rivers of gold I've been going down. Rivers of wine I've been floating down. Straight out of town. Now I'm so far from home. Watching my love.
That's called Rivers of Smoke. Joseph Huber is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. It's a tune from his new record called Moondog. Information is online at josephhubermusic.com. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about the furniture craft that you are involved in. Still involved?
Yeah, I still got my shop.
Yeah, you make handcrafted furniture.
Yep. I've been doing that for about 6 or 7 years now. I started a shop with some buddies back in the day, and as a group that we were going to form and work all together, and I would say within 6 months they were all out, and I was just like, nope, and this is my shop. I'm going to keep it going.
A particular style?
I started out with essentially that a rustic modern thing that was not very popular at the time, and now it's everywhere you go. So I've had to shift a number of times in aesthetics and trying out new things, and also just as you get better, you start getting more interested in basic joinery and that shows things. So you get better, and also your aesthetic for certain things, wood grains, whereas before I was staining everything dark, and then suddenly you're just like, no, I want to show the grain, and what you start to appreciate different things more the more you do it. So I've definitely altered over the years.
With the increase in demand and interest in that kind of stuff, how do you continually balance that work and your musical work?
My life is never balanced, ever, ever, ever. No, I guess I have the freedom to bounce back and forth between the two, and I just do it whenever happens. Yeah. If I'm working on recording, sometimes I'll just need to get away from it and do something at the end of the day that I can see what I've done and just be able to hold it and show it. And, it's a different type of relief that you get from it, certainly. So it's good to have both aspects of that in my life.
I can understand that completely doing radio.
Yes.
You want that physical thing that you accomplished at the end of the day. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for playing for us today.
Absolutely, Eric. Thank you so much.
JPR Live Sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix Microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing, innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry. Joseph Huber, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Support for JPR Live Sessions comes from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, family-owned, operated, and argued over since 1980, reminding listeners to think for themselves, but drink with others. SierraNevada.com.